You are listening to episode number 59 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. And welcome to another episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. First and foremost, I am your very hoarse-sounding host, Ben. Joining me tonight, person who's ready for opening day, Mr. Brian Powers. Brian, welcome back to the show.
What's going on, man?
And, of course, joining me from the boroughs of New York City, Taser. Taser, welcome to the show.
You people suck, and I loathe you all.
Taser, you've gone and alienated our two fans. How dare you?
Three.
Good.
Gamma Geron, Mateus, and Spider Lantern. Don't forget.
They like awesome. Chocolate.
Gamma
Geron
still,
so
Gamma
Geron
still wants your door front. He still wants the door front.
He gets nothing and loves it.
All right. But just in case, if for whatever reason this is your first time listening to us, which. We are the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. We are a podcast dedicated to all things Marvel, whether that be comics, movies, TV, video games, even toys, Desert Storm, Captain America. but, of course, as we speak right now, this is actually Saturday. We're recording a day earlier, so C2E2 is actually not over, but apparently Marvel has made some headlines before the show's even begun. So first and foremost, what we're going to do is, again, this if anything comes out Sunday, just follow our Twitter, twitter.com/word3pcast, for some updates. Actually, don't, because I probably won't be able to report anything. But just check, you know, other sites, I guess, because I won't be able to do anything about it. But Marvel had some pretty big things today, of course, as I look them up for a second. Apparently, and this is all basically from the Fear Itself panel at C2E2, Thor discovers, this is all from the panel, this is from Matt Fraction, Thor discovers he is not who he thought he is and is made to face his worst nightmare. Of course,
heterosexuality.
Of course, they. For some reason, the published Marvel has to tell their fan base, you don't need to read the tie-ins. I don't know why that people ask that question. Some Fear Itself tie-ins in April are Fear Itself Homefront, Invincible Iron Man, and Journey into Mystery. Those are the tie-ins that will be released in April. The Defenders will enter into Fear Itself with Fear Itself. So I look up the title real quick. Fear Itself, The Deep, with Doctor Strange, Namor, Silver Surfer, and not the Hulk or Rulk, Red She-Hulk. So throwing a little twist right there.
Intriguing.
Avengers, Secret Avengers, and Iron Man 2.0 will tie into Fear Itself. According to Brian Michael Bendis, Avengers number 13 is the biggest roster shakeup since Bendis took over the Avengers. I'm assuming that means New Avengers back in 04. Chris Bocciolo is going to draw a few issues of the Avengers, so that's going to be cool. Greg Pak and Fred Van Lente are going to, and this is going to make Taser happy, as we found out at Emerald City, they're going to start a new Alpha Flight book. The writers are Greg Pak and Fred Van Lente will be on writing duties, and Dale Eaglesham will be the artist. So that's a pretty quality team for a team like Alpha Flight that shouldn't really deserve an ongoing, but whatever.
Suck it and die.
And of course, in the spirit of ongoings, another character who really shouldn't have an ongoing is getting another shot. Ghost Rider is getting a new ongoing, started this June with a .1 issue, and his official number one starts in July. So the .1 issue in June and the new number one in July. So Rob Williams on writing duties and Matt Clark on art. They got
Yay, Nicolas Cage gets a comic. Woohoo!
Nicolas Cage still gets work? Holy shit.
This is going to surprise some people. Howard the Duck is going to be in Fear Itself with Frankenstein and Man-Thing in Fear Itself, Fearsome Four, with a member yet to be undetermined. So if you're a Howard the Duck fan, you're going to get some love in Fear itself.
I wonder if he's still going to be living in Cleveland, because we all know how much Howard loved Cleveland. Can't wait to visit Cleveland myself.
All right, enough. Apparently, we all know the Hulk has been outside of the main Marvel Universe for a while now, but the Hulk is to, Fear itself is going to bring back Hulk, Green Hulk that is, into the forefront of the Marvel Universe. Apparently, Fear itself has been in the works since Thor was brought back in 2007, courtesy of JMS. Fuck him. Sin, the daughter of Red Skull, because somebody asked at the panel, are we going to see the actual Red Skull himself? I can't remember Red Skull is his real name or anything. And there wasn't a no, but they said Fear itself is Sin's story, not her dad's. So look for her to take center stage instead of the Red Skull, the real Red Skull. Apparently, according to Matt Fraction, Wolverine is afraid of badgers and bees. So look for that to maybe show up in Fear itself. It's a joke.
Fucking loser.
It's a joke. Like I said earlier, issue 3 is actually the issue that brings Hulk back to the front of the Marvel Universe. No plans for future Marvel DC crossovers. Fucking DC sucks. In Fear itself, number 1, Odin will ask Thor, are you a god or a man? The new Herc book will cross over to Fear itself in May. And of course, I shouldn't have to say this again, but Disney has had no influence on Marvel publishing side of things. So people stop asking that question. And the last thing we have on here is Journey into Mystery, the current Thor title being renumbered in Journey into Mystery, will be the book for the Asgardians' point of view in Fear itself. So it's not a Loki book, as many of people speculated. It's going to be for like all the Asgardians, except for Baldur, because he's dead.
Again?
Yeah, again. So there you have it. Those are so far some of the reports from C2E2. A couple of them we left off because we're going to actually go into discussion topics of them. But real quick before we move on, Brian, what are your thoughts on some of these tidbits? Anything that stands out from you?
So all around it's pretty exciting news, you know. It's definitely some mixing up of things, and that's always good, you know. I'm glad that some of these characters are getting ongoings. I'll actually be looking forward to, Alpha Flight, Omega Flight. I really want to get... it seems interesting anyway.
We are not making it the book of the week, by the way. I don't care how much Taser wants it.
Hey, me and Taser, man. We majority vote here.
You two Alpha Flight... All two of you Alpha Flight fans, which are right here.
Ghost Rider sounds interesting, I guess, as long as they do it right. I mean...
Nicholas Cage in effect!
Yes, I know. God, spare us. But as long as they don't carry too close to the movie, which they probably will, which sucks, you know, I don't think there'll be that much of a problem, but that could just be my optimistic spirit talking, which probably is. Outside of that, you know, it's all good, really. You know, I'll be looking forward to Fear itself, definitely, all the stuff included within. And, it looks to be an interesting year coming up for Marvel, so I'll definitely be excited for all this news that's been coming out of there.
All right, Taser, anything that jumps out at you from C2E2 so far?
Yeah, I think it's funny that with Planet Hulk and then World War Hulk and then with, you know, the Hulks and She-Hulk books that are out now, somehow or other with all of that, Hulk was no longer at the forefront of the Marvel Universe.
Well, in terms of interacting with a lot of Marvel characters, I think that's what they mean. Like, you know...
Bullshit, okay. Sure, fine. I think it's funny that... I look at it this way. The whole question of, are you a man or are you a god? Ernie Hudson told us how to answer this question. Whenever you get asked that question, you say, yes, I am a god. It's Ghostbusters, people. We know how to deal with
that. I doubt Thor has seen Ghostbusters. Maybe Donald Blake, yeah. But not...
If he hasn't, then he can't be considered any kind of defender of mine.
Well, Thor apparently is going to be dealing with some personal issues in regards to choices.
Well, daddy
so
issues.
We'll leave that alone.
He's got daddy issues.
Yeah, as in, who's your daddy? But, let's see. Cleveland is going to be in effect. Go Howard! And, Alpha Flight! yeah, man, that's what I'm waiting for. And the rest of the people fly, I don't really care.
I'm excited for Man-Thing. Fucking Man-Thing, yes.
Yeah, I forgot to put my vote in for that, too. That'll be cool.
Man-Thing is fucking awesome. Let's move on to one thing, I guess fan favorite, not our fan favorite by Michael Bendis, is teaming up with Mark Bagley once again to not work on Ultimate Spider-Man, but a new creator-owned book called Brilliant. This is for Icon, Marvel's, I guess, somewhat independent publishing line.
Hey, Icon, good man.
All right. Apparently, here's the premise: the story of a handful of college-age geniuses that challenge each other to solve the mystery of superpowers. It poses the idea a group of real-world geniuses that think the kids from The Social Network putting their minds into not social networking but superpowers and what results they might come to. There's some preview pages up online everywhere. They'll probably be posted on our message board as well. This seems interesting because Bendis has done a couple of creator-owned series. He had Powers, which is his biggest one, Scarlet, which started last year. Takeo, his original graphic novel, came out the week of Emerald City Comic Con, and now this. And I'm actually glad, you know, I think the premise is interesting. It's something I don't think we've seen in comics in a while. I like the whole he's comparing it to social networking people, the really super smart people, but the superpowers. And I think this is Mark Bagley's first creator-owned work, so that's going to be interesting to see his, you know, he's used to drawing the fantastic and the spectacular and the astonishing.
And the amazing.
And the incredible and the uncanny.
Did you miss any adjectives?
I love adjectives. Marvel taught me adjectives as a young kid. Anyways, but now he's drawing, I mean, while this premise has certainly it's a high concept premise, he's going to be drawing the mundane. You know, everyday people maybe encountering, but he's not certainly drawing stuff he was drawing in Ultimate Spider-Man. And judging from some of the preview pages, it looks a little rougher, which may or may not be a good thing. You know, it certainly doesn't look as bad as his stuff on Justice League or his run on Trinity or his stuff on Trinity. So it looks like he's recovering from working at that shitty company. The Distinguished Competition. And if you want to hear me talk about the Distinguished Competition, you can listen to D-Cups.
Plug!
But I don't know. I'm really excited for this because I really want, as much as I love Marvel and I love DC and everything, creator work is always cool to see because you can always do more stuff and show what you can actually tell with the comic form of media in comics. And this could be just another example of that. I just want it to come out. Because Bendis has a track record of his creator-owned shit does not come out. Because
he should work at Image.
Well, yeah. He did work. He started at Image.
There you go.
I think the only reason it doesn't come out is because he knows, you know what, these two Avengers books, they pay more than that does. So that could be it too. But hey, but you know what? With Bagley on it, it'll probably come out like quick. It's just Bendis has to handle the scripts. So I look forward to this new creator-owned stuff. Always a good thing. Brian, any thoughts on this?
No, I mean, Bendis, so far, creator-owned stuff hasn't disappointed me yet. I mean, I've been reading through Scarlet, of course, which is the most recent one, and it's very, very good. And I've picked up some of this stuff beforehand. And, you know, creator-owned work is always cool to see, you know. It gives people a chance to explore things they otherwise wouldn't, which, you know, in an industry that is changing, you know, constantly, you got to be able to do that. And I think it's an opportunity for people to go out and prove, hey, look at me, I don't have to just stick to this character or that character, I can do this. And, you know, Bendis himself is, you know, he's very well, I mean, he has a lot of good creator-owned properties. And you know what, I think I trust him with the writing on this so far, and I'll definitely be picking up the first issue. As far as Bagley goes on the art, I mean, it's interesting. You know, I've seen his stuff, and I haven't hated it ever, but, you know, I haven't always been the biggest fan of it. But, you know, the same thing could be said on my part for Alex Maleev, who was doing Scarlet again. And, you know, I wasn't always the biggest fan of his art, but, you know, after seeing some of the stuff he's done on Scarlet and other stuff, like, I picked up one of the Daredevil trades recently, where he and I think it's he and Bendis did the run, and you know it was just it's brilliantly done. And so you know he people like that can prove that they can you know be good when the time calls for it. And for me personally, if Bagley can prove that he's good when he needs to be, then you know for this book, then I think I can definitely get behind him being the artist on the book. So you know all in all with the creative team, I think it's a damn good choice. I think it'll be interesting to see the two work together, you know, and I will definitely be picking up the first issue when it comes out.
All right, Taser, any of your thoughts on this?
Correct me if I'm wrong. It was Millar who did Nemesis, right?
Yes.
Okay. Then I'd have to say that I'm not familiar with
Love
any
Nemesis.
Of Nemesis. Yeah. I'm not familiar with any of Bendis's creator-owned stuff, at least not in recent memory or that I can think of. That being said, I find the subject of the book interesting. It reminds me a bit of what was that book that Seth Green did? What was it? Yearbook? It came out a couple of years ago. No. Was it Freshman? Yeah, the guy from Robot Chicken. He co-wrote a book with somebody else, and it was kind of like that, where, you know, a bunch of average, everyday, normal people got powers, and there hadn't been any abilities. There was no fantastic people before, so it was like day one. It didn't have the geniuses who set out to solve the problem angle, but I don't know, this kind of, to me, it seems a little similar. As far as the rest of it, Bagley tends to, his art tends to be a bit kinetic, you know, like a McDaniel, and I don't know how his art is going to look in a book that's going to be predominantly normal, you know, if you follow me, but hell, it's comics, you know, he just might need to change his pacing or something, and it'll probably come out fine. I'll be sure to boost a copy, at least the first copy, you know, for issue one.
You're going to sleep? What the hell's wrong with you?
Excuse me? But, you know, I don't know, we'll see. That's really all I can say.
All right, and actually, before we move on to our final topic, some tidbits from C2E2 that we've left out. Marvel to launch in June. Kazar, Captain America Corps, Supreme Powers, Iron Age, Mystery Men, and All Winter Squad. And apparently books are double shipping as well. So there you go.
Yeah, because you gotta get that Captain America Corps. We want that.
And apparently the one thing I know we skipped over, if I'm right, they're canceling. I don't know if there's gonna be a new Captain America number one, and I think it could be Captain America Corps. Which, again, because of the movie, I'm not really shocked. It's the same move that they did with Iron Man, and I was defending of it, and it's the same move they're going to do with Thor. I'm not against it. I'm all 100% for it, you know? I've met people who won't read Action Comics or some of the higher number-ups because they feel the numbering's too big. And believe it or not, that's a real thing. And I want to call them idiots, but it's true. People won't read certain books because the numbering's too high, and they want to start at a certain reasonable point, I guess.
Yeah, even though the stories won't start from zero, but the numbering of the book will. That makes all the difference.
I never said it makes sense, but that's what it is.
I know. I agree with you. They're fucking morons. But I'm just saying it out loud.
And the point is, we're going to get another Captain America book. Volume 6 is going to start, or maybe it's Captain America... Or maybe it's Captain America Core, and it's technically Volume 1, so whatever.
Wait a minute, it's not going to have an adjective?
I guess not.
No, the awesome Captain America Core?
The illustrious Captain America.
See, they're missing out on... Exactly, they're missing out on a prime opportunity.
Well, Thor is now the mighty Thor. Okay, we need it. All right, Warriors fans, all three of y'all, y'all need to come up with a good adjective for Captain America. Winner will get something. I don't know, but you need to come up with a good one, and I will decide if it's good.
And it has to be an adjective, nothing with a hyphen.
Exactly.
Kick butt does not count.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. All right, so let's move on. to the final bit of news from C2E2, which I'm pretty sure will not be the final news of C2E2, but it's the final news we're talking about. Last time we saw Daredevil, he was in a too good place. If you want to listen to past episodes, and you can see how much I fucking hated Shadowland. I thought I was pretty much done with Daredevil. And another book that we're going to talk about, Punisher. I've said on numerous podcast episodes that I have never been the biggest fan of the Punisher. I'm not the biggest. I was a huge fan of Frank Castle because it was doing something unique with the Marvel Universe Punisher. So at C2E2, it has been announced that we're going to get a new Daredevil and new Punisher ongoings, which we talked about a couple weeks ago, but now the creative teams have been revealed on Punisher. Writer extraordinaire Greg Rucka will be on writing duties, and Mark Cicchetto, I think that's how you pronounce his name, that's how I'm going to pronounce it, is on art duties. He's currently the artist on Dark Wolverine, and he also helped with Michael Lark on Amazing Spider-Man The Grim Hunt story arc last year. So, you know what, Marvel, there was only one way to get me to read that book, and you put those two guys on the book. And with Daredevil, we have Comics Hall of Famer, or if there was a Comics Hall of Fame, he would sure be the first inductee. Mr. Mark Waid will be taking over on writing duties, and Paulo Rivera and Marcos Martin will be on art duties, so they'll switch in and out on arcs, apparently. So, to quote Charlie Sheen, winning, or by winning, since it's two of them, this is fucking fantastic. You know, in terms of Daredevil, I already said what I said on Punisher. In terms of Daredevil, I've never been a big fan of his, but especially after Shadowland, this character's damaged. You need to put him away for a while. And when I heard they were going to do the number one, I'm like, of course, my eyes rolled. But the fact you got the comics master himself, Mark Waid, on it, and two fantastic fucking artists who are underrated, in my opinion, you know, this is and the beautiful thing is, honestly, I wish they could say, you know what, yeah, in which Punisher from Marvel Knights, when it first debuted, not when he was the Spirit of Vengeance kind of thing, but when Garth Ennis brought him back, he said, yeah, it was an angel or something, but forget about that. I'm going to kill these fuckers right here. I wanted to address Shadowland very briefly and move the fuck on. We do not need to sit in that travesty that is Shadowland. I mean, Marvel, they easily... DC didn't announce shit this weekend, as far as I'm concerned. Of course, they could announce something huge on Sunday. But, you know, this is... You want to get two B... I want to say... I mean, let's face it. Daredevil and Punisher are B-list. You want to get two B-list characters. You want to get people to read their books. You put these guys on them. You put these creative teams on them. Kudos, Marvel. You fucking did it. Brian, any thoughts on these?
Well, out of the three that are being pushed for big shots, you know, Moon Knight's a personal favorite, but Daredevil, I did enjoy him briefly before everything fell down and just ruined it. I am happy to see him finally getting another shot at, you know, a good writing team, because, you know, as proven before, he can carry his own book. It just needs to have the very right touch. Otherwise, it can all get screwed to hell. Daredevil, I believe, is in good hands for now, you know. And as far as the Punisher goes, you know, he's had how many number ones? His number ones alone probably outnumber his entire series run. I'm just going to go ahead and say that. They keep pushing him. And it's just like, really? You know, it's not that he isn't a cool character, but you only do so much with just blindly killing people, you know?
But it's not like he did that in the last volume. I mean, I think the problem people have with the Punisher is that people want the Marvel Universe Punisher to be the Marvel Max Punisher, and you can't fucking have that. You can't do that. You just can't do that. That's why you have the Marvel Max Punisher. You know,
Yeah, I know, but even that gets tired after a while. Look, I'm not saying the Punisher isn't a cool character to have around for a little while. You know, he comes in, he does his thing, and then he leaves. That's the way Punisher's been for pretty much the entire...
Oh, I totally agree with you. I completely agree with you.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, fine, whatever, I don't care. But, you know, no matter who you say, oh, we got this guy, we got that guy, you know, whatever. He's going to be gone in probably a year anyway, so it doesn't really give a shit. Daredevil. Hey, shut up. Daredevil is solid as far as I'm concerned. Punisher is like he's always been, so you know, it's nothing really new there. All around, I'm pretty excited for it, especially with the induction, with the inclusion of Moon Knight. So for now, it's got my seal of approval, but I'm not holding out hope for Punisher to last any longer than he has to.
Wow, you are a fucking hater. And, dude,
I'm a realist.
It's fucking Greg Rucka, though. I mean...
And Greg Rucka, don't get me wrong, I mean, he's done some good stuff, but he can't make Punisher work, okay?
How do you know? How do you know?
How do I know? Because no one can make Punisher work.
Rick
That's Rainer the way
made
he
the
works.
Fucking Punisher work. It's stupid assholes who couldn't bind the Frank can't be touched. Please, in the Marvel Universe, Frank Castle would be fucking killed by anybody if he went up with Wolverine. Are you kidding me? That made logical sense. If
he got killed by the emo fag Wolverine already.
In the Marvel Universe, Punisher doesn't stand a chance against anybody.
Might I just point out that it was his killing by Wolverine, except your favorite Punisher run, Frankencastle?
Yes, exactly. But I'm sick of these Punisher fanboys who constantly, like, bitch at things like Punisher can't take down this person. No, he can't. He has a lot of ammunition. That's not going to do nothing to
him. Yeah, he's got all kinds of crazy shit. He's like the arcade
he's
of
fucking Botulism. Batman. He's not... planning. He just
actually he is. Things. He's pretty much Batman without the morals, pretty much.
No, but my point is, Punisher isn't.
give him enough time and a decent approach. Put an adamantium bullet through Wolverine's skull, end the story.
But he's not.
Actually, that would just bounce off.
Yeah, you realize his skull is made out of adamantium, right? He doesn't have the magic adamantium bullet that's gonna make him forget his jacket, and then he's gonna have to go find it.
I was under the impression that only adamantium could hurt other adamantium. Was I wrong
with this? With this Punisher. Yeah. Either A, he has to be in the Marvel Universe and make it a struggle. Show him that Frank really can't stand toe-to-toe with a lot of these guys, you know? I mean, Moon Knight, a lot of lower street-level guys, yes. But if he comes across Cyclops, he's not making it. If he comes across the X-Men
Cyclops, or really?
Archangel or any of these other powered people, he's not making it alive. He shouldn't, or he should be bad.
Whatever. Well, this isn't a question about Punisher's longevity or his skills. Okay, this is about his creative team, and that's the one fight that Frank Castle will never, ever, ever win. He cannot last. He cannot. It's been proven he cannot last, and we just have to sit back and accept that. He'll come in. He'll do what he needs to do. Then he'll be gone. And you know what? I'm fine with that. End of story.
You know, I bet you it lasts. Okay, I say 20 issues. Because that's what
I could probably give it that number. It's a fair number.
I give it 20 issues. All right, Taser, any of your thoughts on these quote-unquote reboots?
Yeah, one, I didn't know Cyclops was bulletproof.
He can create something. He has Warren Worthington money. He can make something.
He has nothing that would stop a bullet.
He shoots the visor at the bullet from behind.
Gotcha. Yeah, because he has 360 optic blast. Yeah, okay. What are you smoking, dude?
It's not like Cyclops is a dumbass. The dude's probably as tactile as
he is. Cyclops.
No, he is a master strategist.
Who has to go to the bathroom? Is the guy who has to go to the kitchen to get food? Is the guy who sleeps? Okay, yes, he has abilities, and yes, he's intelligent, and all the rest of that shit, but none of it will stop a bullet that he doesn't see coming. And I'm sorry, you're an idiot for thinking that he cannot be sniped by Punisher. I'm not saying that Punisher, head up, is going to go, hey, Cyclops, I'm going to kill you, and, you know, then do it, and Cyclops is just going to sit there and, durr. But let's be real here. Punisher's not the kind of guy who's going to go, you know, straight up against a super. You know,
against Dokken and look what happened.
Again?
Actually, he was sought out during that fight. He didn't challenge a hero straight up. He was confronted.
Then there you go. So, I mean,
he still fought him and he still lost.
Well, what was he going to do? Go, hey, time out.
He was critically injured after that. Before that fight.
How about instead of trying to fight the dude, I'm going to get the fight.
You know what? Frank and Cass can go suck a dick, okay? Punisher sucks in any increment.
Perfectly said, and that applies to all of the news that we just went through about Daredevil and Punisher, because I really don't give a flying fuck.
Alright, I'm on board with Daredevil and Punisher. Punisher probably on the short term. Daredevil, as long as Wade's on it, and you have Paulo Rivera, Marcos Martin on it, I think it'll be good. But let's move. His art is on Amazing Spider-Man. If you actually read the book, you would know how fucking awesome his art is. Mateus, you are wrong. Marcos Martinez, an awesome artist. And real quick before we move on to the book of the week, I am challenging, I'm calling out you, WS of the GLCMB. Come on to this show and defend your love for Dawkins. Because frankly, man, I'm getting sick and tired of you wanting to us review his fucking book.
The gauntlet has been thrown!
I am calling you out. Come and defend your love for this character, because for the love of God, I don't know how he has an ongoing. I don't know how he's still a viable character in the Marvel Universe. He's worthy. He's a Wolverine wannabe. Just like Deadpool is. So for once...
Come and get him, Wes.
Come on, Wes. The gauntlet has been thrown. Bring it. I'm challenging you. All right, but let's move on to the book of the week. The book of the week, as we talked a lot about Fear Itself in the beginning part of the show, we've all read Fear Itself, Book of the Skull. This is the Fear Itself prologue. Just some of the story. It's a tale of two parts. One is Sin and Baron Zemo going to find the Red Skull's book. And the other is showing in the past how everything came to be, where the Red Skull and a couple of occultists, is that the right word? Occultists? Nazi occultists? Are trying to resurrect, not resurrect, but summon something from the gods, which we can assume it's the North gods. They find out eventually it's a hammer. Some type of a hammer, which is related to the Norse gods, which we all know, hammers, Norse gods, that goes together. Captain America, Namor,
Bucky. Is it Thunderstrike?
Not Thunderstrike, it looks very different.
Okay.
But anyways, Captain America, Namor, and Bucky all have to go down to Antarctica to go find it and try to fight them. It's basically a big fight scene. There really wasn't a lot of... And this is how I think the Fear Itself tie-ins are going to read, is like... Yeah, you could pick up this prologue, but really I think pretty much everything you need to know is going to be in Fear Itself, the miniseries. But I thought it was entertaining. It was cool to see the invader, quote-unquote, some invaders action, and to see Red Skull, like, scream, Die America, or whatever, how Germans say it. Nazi Germans, I guess. See Bucky and Namor, see Bucky mowing down Nazis and Namor and Cap fighting a big old frost giant. I thought it was cool. You know, it wasn't the best thing in the world. It was fun. You know, I thought the art was a little heavy though. In that, I thought the inks really seemed to bring a lot of weight to it. It made everything look thicker. I don't know.
That's what she said.
But I thought it was interesting. It didn't get me more excited for Fear Itself. I wasn't disappointed. I wasn't like, oh, fuck Fear Itself. It didn't, when they show that hammer at the end, I think that's the moment where you're supposed to have a chill in the back of your neck, or I think that's the moment it was like, you know, because we've seen that hammer in promos, and stuff, in like little, those images, if you look at that stuff, but, I don't know, I thought it was not average, I thought it was pretty good. It wasn't the best thing in the world, and you know, we're 2 weeks away from it all starting, and the God of Fear is returning. So let's see how it goes. But I give it a solid 3.9.
Nightmare?
I give it a solid 3.9 out of 5. You don't need to read it. You know, if you want a little info on Sin, the daughter of the Red Skull, yeah, I would say read it. Show how fucking crazy she kind of is. But other than that, not necessarily. Oh, and if you want a cool invader story in World War II with Nazi Red Skull. Yeah, other than that, 3.9 out of 5. All right.
Does it show Red Skull, like, plowing her mom? You actually get to see her?
No, how you don't see that. You don't see that.
Well, you at least see her mom.
No.
Does it show anything that shows how she's his daughter?
No, anything. But this is like Sin's been in the books for a long time. I mean, it's not anything new.
I know that, but I'm just wondering.
This wasn't a story about Sin's birth, dude. This is about the Book of the Skull.
Yeah, this is her about finding out, this is about, she knows about her daughter, her father's greatest failure, which apparently was the hammer falling, but not knowing what the hammer was, what the hammer can do.
Does it show any of stuff with her as a young child and him.
No, it's just him.
Sin is absent from the book.
It shows her in the modern day. You read this, so you would know.
I did.
Okay, then.
But Brian, take it away with your review.
What's
your thoughts on the issue, rather?
Okay. The issue is solid, I guess. You know, it's a fairly decent take on what Fear Itself is going to be, I suppose. Because, you know, Red Skull, he's always been involved with this, you know, super powerful stuff, you know, Nazis, all that stuff. And it's not surprising he had a hand in this, you know. But the only thing is, Sin remembering this, you know, knowing where to go, I don't know, maybe it's a little harder for me to believe, but, you know, she's Sin, so I guess maybe she could if she wanted to. I was interested actually in the Baron Zemo, him being involved, and then, you know, the whole double cross at the end. I'm really interested to see if that plays any part Fear Itself coming up, if, like, he aligns himself just to take her down, which would be really, really cool to see, if I do say so myself. And as far as the flashback goes, you know, it was good. You know, we had the basic idea of what's going to happen. You know, no big surprise there. Namor, I think, got a little more of a spotlight than he deserved, but, you know, maybe that's just me. And, you know, as far as the whole hammer thing goes, you know, like you said, we've definitely seen it before. We know it's there. We know it's going to be, you know, probably the power wielding Fear Itself. So, you know, the chill, I guess, they were going for was just kind of like, okay, there it is. You know, I was interested to see Sin, actually, because this is the first time I've actually seen her as the Red Skull. I haven't picked up a cat book since he died, really. And it was interesting to see, you know, Sin finally taking up the role of her father. And I do agree with Baron Zemo that she is as bad or worse than her father. She is absolutely off her rocker, from what I can tell. You know, writing was solid, you know, is what I said from a prologue, one shot, you know, flat spit. You know, split it between the past and the present. You know, that's cool. The art is, I guess, is okay. I mean, for me, I personally, maybe it leaves a little something to be desired, but not much. It doesn't affect the issue as much as you think it would. And it's good art. You know, Brubaker's writing course is fantastic. Like I said, art's good. So I'm gonna go ahead. I'm gonna give this a 3.5 out of 5 warriors. Just barely missing the 4 mark, so I'm just going to put it as 3.5.
All right, and because Taser forgot that Fear Itself, Book of the Skull was the book of the week, he actually read Iceman and Angel one-shot. Taser's not going to be able to give his thoughts, so if you were confused, like, why didn't Shania have read it? No, he didn't. So let's move on.
Bad Taser.
Yes, bad Taser. But let's move on to individual reviews, and I'm actually going to give our Feudal Japan update. This one, 5 Ronin number 3, the Punisher. this is really the Punisher's origin, but done in Feudal Japan. And while you would think that's kind of tired, I actually find it really interesting because you incorporate it with the way of the samurai kind of thing. You incorporate it with samurai lore and samurai traditions, which I found really interesting. I think, you know, that's the extra twist in it. In a sense, you got a guy, his name is Asaki, or that's his family's clan's name. He's returning home from war, much like Frank Castle. And he finds his home, you know, his home to have been ravaged by a daimyo. I can't remember specifically which one, but it was a daimyo. And his wife, of course, apparently, I don't know, I could be completely wrong, I hope this is right historically, in that if a samurai wife and child, before they cannot be captured, so they commit suicide, and the woman bounds her ankles together so she can't be violated. I could be wrong, I want somebody to clarify that for me, because I hope that's accurate, and I hope Peter Milligan's, like, you know, I guess being respectful to actual history while incorporating these things. But anyways, so he basically turns into the Punisher without calling himself, like, he goes out and seeks out the men who not killed his family, but ruined his life. You know, tore down his family and forced, you know, and he's carrying around a big old shotgun, like a big old barrel gun that you would carry back then. and he finally gets, his last person he gets to is a person who's obviously old, fat, retired, and doesn't want to fight anymore, and he kills him easily. And he goes, now what? Now what do I do? And he continues killing. You know, it wasn't great. It was very solid. But the thing is, the character who's supposed to be Deadpool showed up again at the end of the issue. Didn't really say anything. Just kind of sat there with the hat and everything. Deadpool seems to be like the concurring theme throughout all these. While they've all been standalones for the most part, with vague references through him, Deadpool, the character, not necessarily Wade Wilson Deadpool, but the character has been the most active or the most prominent. And I'm interested to see how that fifth issue reads, because maybe they're all going to meet up or something and they're going to kill each other to the death. I don't know. Who knows? I gave it a 3 out of 5. Next week, Psylocke. So there you go. The probably more traditional. But the thing is, I know we bitched about how Psylocke was all traditional, but basically it's not like they've all been traditional Japanese people. I mean, it's not like they put Bruce Banner back in time or something. I mean, they just gave him sort of like the similar personalities of the characters, and that's about it. The only one who conceivable is Wolverine, and even is Logan, and even then, that's a bit of a stretch. So, there you go. 3.5 out of 5, and I hope other people are reading this series. Beautiful David Aja covers as well, too. All right, but let's move on to Brian, who's actually not reviewing a Marvel book or an Icon book, but this is a first for the Warriors 3. He's actually reviewing a cross-gen book.
Woohoo!
You know, so this is the first time with Ruse, a.k.a. the Sherlock Holmes ripoff. So take it away, Brian, with Ruse, your quick review of Ruse number one.
Okay, first of all, I just want to say, if Sherlock Holmes was badass beforehand, I would have read more of his books, dude. This, I honestly feel like this guy is probably
why... That's because
you
can't read.
Hey, I can read just fine, okay?
When you read comics, you just look at the pretty pictures.
Oh, fuck off. Anyway, essentially it is like the Sherlock Holmes, the movie version we've seen with Robert Downey Jr. And I'd like to point out the point that Watson is, in fact, a hot chick. So... Thumbs up there.
Is she banging?
What is it? What?
Is she banging?
Yeah, dude.
Nice.
Yeah, definitely, dude. She is nice. Anyway, moving away from the book's only pair of tits. We have Mark Waid writing, who actually wrote first half of the Ruse, their run back in the early 2000s. He wrote that, the first half of the run, and it's very well done, you know. It's definitely a lot like Sherlock Holmes seen in the movies, but I like to think that maybe, you know, he was the one who just before they came up with the idea for the movie himself, so I'd like to try and give a little more credit to him on that front. What do we got? We have Simon Archard, who is the detective of the series. We have Emma Bishop, who is his assistant. She constantly keeps trying to say partner, but, you know, he keeps batting down. He's got the ego on him. And, you know, they make a very, very good team. There's a lot of good banter in there, and it's an interesting story because the opening to the book is essentially him walking into a crime scene and pretty much saying just flat out, suicide. And after basically a 10-minute back and forth with the people in the house and the description of how it happened, he's right. So he walks in, claims it, explains it, and then he, you know, after a chase scene, actually, he gets the criminal after all. What this series basically sets up with is that the detective, he keeps getting threats directed at his partner, Emma Bishop, who was said to be better and smarter than him, believe it or not, but he refuses to believe it, like I said, because he's got ego. And at the very end, they're going to investigate, like I said, in the beginning, what they do is they investigate the death of this this high-ranking official, and he apparently had a gambling debt, and they're going to investigate why he had to get debt. Why would he be indebted to such a low-life place when he himself could have been much higher class, you know, gambling rings and stuff? And essentially what happens is they go to talk to the people who run the joint, and they're getting trapped, and they basically stick an army of rats, starved rats on them. And then them trying to go and try and fight them off ends the first issue. After all of it, it's a very well-written issue. It's very, very good. The writing is much better than I expected. It's, like I said, it's witty, and, you know, it keeps you very, very interested. And the art, of course, is it's fantastic, you know, and it's definitely fitting for the time period, I think. And I think all around it's a very, very, very good issue. I mean, I was surprised to find out that it got canceled in the first place. I think it definitely should have kept going if it was this good when it was around originally. And if it wasn't, then you know what? I can kind of see why I would drop off. Because if this isn't, I can quickly tell if this isn't the team that's doing the book, then you're probably not going to be that interested in it. But otherwise, you know, it is a very good book, and I highly recommend it. Check it out. It's Ruse Number 1 out of CrossGen, run by Marvel. And I give this book 4.5 out of 5 Warriors, just because it really was like the highlight of my week this week. So I give it a big thumbs up.
Wow, your life fucking sucks.
How the hell do you figure?
Let's take it away to Taser.
No, hold on a second. How the hell do you figure?
Well, if a comic
like I said, Punisher sucks in any incarnation. How is this book not better than a stupid 5 Ronin one-shot?
No, but the fact that you said like this is the highlight of my week, yeah, your life sucks.
The highlight of my reading week, you know what I mean.
No, I don't.
Go for the juggler, go for the juggler.
Well, now you do.
Boston accents.
Fuck you. I think you're retarded.
Your brother Ben Affleck is not going to go get him.
God, if I was Ben Affleck's brother, I'd kill myself.
All right, Taser, you're actually venturing into the Ultimate Universe with New Ultimates versus Ultimate Avengers number 2.
Wrong.
Oh, never mind. I forgot. Because Taser didn't read the Book of the Week, and because he read the wrong one, and because he decided to change his mind the last time, he's actually reviewing Thunderstrike number 3. Another, ladies and gentlemen, Thunderstrike, another 90s bad concept. So there you go.
Hey, 90s gave us some good stuff, man.
Eric Masterson.
Yeah, like Kyle Rayner. Anyway.
Oh, God. You're just a sadist, Taser. You know that? You're friggin' sadist.
Go on. No, but you know what, though? I liked Thunderstrike when I was reading Thor. I thought Kevin Masterson wasn't a bad guy. You know, Kevin Masterson was somebody who, you know, was somebody who was just trying to do the right thing and trying to do right by his kid, you know? When he got turned into Thunderstrike, cool, they got a decent guy and they let him keep some abilities. All right, and then they killed him. Like, fuck you, Marvel. But anyway, Thunderstrike.
All 90s trash, like Scarlet Spider and Carnage should be fucking dead. They should go all the way
with
this. Get Jeff Johns over tomorrow, fine and point, every single 90s character will be fucking dead, and I will be happy.
A fine point to be made. I'd like to know how many characters that were created in the 90s have died at some point. Regardless of whether they're permanently dead or died and came back, I just want to know how many of them have died, because that would be an interesting experiment to
Arachnid Avenger, but get on that ASAP.
Well, anyway, Thunderstrike number 4, we pick up where we last left off with Kevin Masterson's, I think that's the son's name. The son gets shot in the chest. Oh, and he's down. Oh, no. And it looks like he's down for the count. Oh, he might be dead. No, he changes back into his mortal form, but he's not holding the mace. So it becomes a bit of cat and mouse. The bad guy's chasing the kid, and he's meanwhile,
pissing himself.
Yeah, essentially. Meanwhile, Grunhilde, she's busy fighting something coming through the portal inside Man's base, and bum, 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 Mangog shows up. And it becomes a fight to stay alive as Man's forces go, yo, what the hell is that? I ain't fighting that. I'm out of here. And she ends up trying to do something which isn't too successful. But it leads leads Mangog to the kid, who manages to get the hammer back, or the mace, excuse me, manages to go head-to-head against our golden villain, who reminds me of Goldface, but they can't really call him that. But anyway, she gives him some advice because, yeah, Thunderstrike against Mangog, yeah, that's not going to end well. And gets the kid out of trouble. The kid is let go. Mangog snatches up the villain. They both reveal that they both share a hatred for the gods. And then Mangog does what almost any monster in his position would do. Let's just say he'll be picking golden flakelets out of his teeth for a while. Anyway, the kid reports that Mangox's got a man on for Thor, and he's headed towards Manhattan. Sharon Carter makes an appearance, and she talks to the kid like he's nobody.
Wait, is it in continuity?
Yeah.
Fuck. God.
Uh-oh, Ben's mad.
I will say this, though.
Raging, fucking 90, God.
Look at Red Ring coming. Red Ring coming. Blow. I will say, I did like the way it ends. The kid realizes that there are big things that happen, and sometimes you're the only one there to handle it, and he realizes that his father wasn't a joke. So he calls it in, but rather than back off and do what I would have done and go, F them, he heads back in there, and he remakes himself into something that's actually more believable. He's no longer Thunder Spike. He's... you gotta look at it. It's actually not a bad decision for somebody who doesn't necessarily want his secret identity getting out. I'll just leave it like that. And it's also, he has the, I'm trying to remember which Avengers team it is, because it looks like a mix. No, it would be the Mighty Avengers behind him. So, there you go. Issue 4 ends with Thunderstrike, with Thor, and the rest of the Mighty Avengers, including Shieldless Cap, at his back. Kick ass. I like the book. Art was solid. Story kind of went exactly where I thought it was going to go, you know, given the subject matter. I didn't see the Golden guy meeting the end that he met, but well, I had no problem with that because the guy was a dick. It was a solid book. It wasn't a great read, but it was a solid book. So I'll give it a 2.5 Warriors out of 5.
All right, kids, the 90s sucked. It's not brainwashing from DC or Marvel. It's from me.
Scarlet Spider in effect, baby. Yeah.
I swear, you know what? I will probably commit suicide if I see that fucker in Amazing Spider-Man ever again.
Oh, God. Calm yourself down.
All right. But let's move on to our little lighthearted topic, which can turn serious in some comic shops. Our Versus of the Week this week, as we tease, as we said, card subject to change, because I originally wanted Iron Fist and Doctor Strange. But apparently Taser was going to handicap him too much, so we're not going to have that. But instead, we're going to have Doctor Strange versus the Mandarin.
Yes, that's right, folks, the Mandarin.
The Master of Ten Rings, Doctor Strange, the Sorcerer Supreme, the Master of the Mystic Arts, and Martial Arts to some. Taser. So basically, we got one of the most one of the more insane, crazy, great villains of the Marvel Universe versus probably one of the more underrated, unsalvaged, untouched, unused,
and big shot,
unwanted,
big shot
characters of the Marvel Universe, and Stephen Strange.
Which is more of a proper fight.
You know what? I'm going to just say it right now, while Mandarin is a very hokey villain, especially back in...
Hokey? How the hell is he hokey?
Have you seen him talk?
Yeah, I don't see colored balloons or anything like that. He talks like an imperialist. Duh.
A hokey
just like freaking Red Skull talked like a fascist.
A hokey imperialist. So it was like it was grandstanding. Like typical...
Duh.
That's what I mean.
Oh, okay. So you realize, of course, that Baron von Strucker talks the same way.
Not anymore.
And
I've seen that.
Red Skull talked the same way.
That's what
until
I'm saying.
He
we haven't
died.
Gotten a modern Mandarin yet. We haven't gotten it yet.
Anyway. He's classic. That's what it is. Not hokey, classic.
Whatever.
Give the man some respect.
Hokey doesn't necessarily mean bad, in my opinion.
Yes, it does.
Not in my opinion. I'm not you, fucker.
Okay. Yeah, but you're Mexican, so you don't know English.
Fuck Mexico. Bomb the shit out of that country. Anyways,
I'm
just going to say it because everybody knows about my love affair with Doctor Strange. The only way that he could lose if he was in a fight with Omega Red, in my opinion. So I'm going to say this right now. Doctor Strange pones Mandarin without even trying. Bans of Sidorak. The Dormammu, he uses the Eye of Agamotto, shuts Mandarin down. The tech, alien space technology does not do anything against Doctor Strange's magic knowledge. So Doctor Strange, for the win, he is winning. Brian, who do you have in this fight?
I share the sentiment. I give it to Doc Strange hands down. I mean, he's the master of the mystic arts, and he has the power to just, like, pretty much remove the rings and towers from the equation. You know, given the right spell, he could pretty much just drain all power from the Mandarin. You know, that's that. And, you know, aside that, I do believe he has to have at least some martial arts mastering to, you know, be anywhere near the person he is now, anyway. So I give it to Doc Strange, hands down. Right. But it should be Doc Voodoo kicking ass, not Strange. I'm going to say that right now.
Nobody cares about the black guy.
Yeah, it's true. No one does. It's a fucking disgrace.
All right. So it's 2 for Doc. There's no way he's going to lose, but what's your vote, Taser?
I would agree that Doc wins, but I think Mandarin puts up a bit more of a fight than you guys will give him credit for. Yeah, he could go for the automatically remove rings bit, but, you know, Doc, I can't think of a time when Doc's ever done anything like that. So going by how most Marvel fights will go, we'll at least get a decent fight out of him. The Crimson Bands, I would like to see how they'd work against, what was it, that 10th ring of Mandarin's, the Disintegrator Beam. I think they would probably prove to be a good foil for them. I think, overall, Doc definitely brings more to bear, you know? If he's, we're talking him at his A game, yeah, it's clearly a win, but Doc's never, at least in my opinion and what I've read, and I've read quite a bit, Doc's never been somebody who, oh, automatic A win, A game and auto win. It's not like that.
All right, so clean sweep.
I still agree with you, but I think the fight goes a little bit more than 2 seconds. That you guys are going
to
get.
No, no. The only way Doctor Strange loses, in my opinion, is that he loses to Omega Red. That's it.
Nah, I think if they get into a game of patty cake, then I think Doc would lose because, you know,
his hands are
Doc fine. Can't feel his hands.
Exactly.
There you go.
All right, anyway, so there you have it. Doctor Strange takes it. Tune in next week for our Versus of the Week, where it's going to be Lockjaw versus Lockheed.
What?
There you go.
Ugh, that's lame.
That is lame.
Fuck you. It's fun. A pet
dude,
dragon
go back to what you had before. That was so good. Come on.
A pet dragon.
Yeah, it's a flying dragon versus a teleporting. I'm not sure what the hell he is nowadays.
Dude,
he's a dog. He's a dog.
Yeah, but he's also supposed to have been a human.
Fuck
I'm
that.
Not
he's
sure.
A dog. Anyways, Lockjaw versus Lockheed.
Lock.
All right.
Okay, Kuhan.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes...
D-Cup's plug! Anyway.
That concludes episode number 59 of the Mighty Warriors Tomorrow podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. Tune in next week as our book of the week is actually going to be... Dun-dun-dun. FF number 1, the much-anticipated...
Fantastic Four?
No.
Damn!
Just FF. Number 1, the new ongoing by Jonathan Hickman where Spider-Man joins the team.
I'm sorry, I couldn't help it.
Alright, but be sure to join us for then. Real quick, you can visit our website www.thewarriors3.com, our twitter.com/warriors3pcast. Of course, you could check out my appearance if you want to on D-Cups. We just recorded an episode two nights ago. And
issue number 2?
Yeah, episode number 2. You can hear me talk about why I'm like a heroin addict when it comes to Superman. Listen to the episode and you'll find out.
Superman.
Make a joke, but I'm not going to anyway.
But if you want to contact us and send all your hate mail to Brian, thewarriors3@gmail.com.
I don't get hate mail.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. All of
we don't get any mail, anyway.
Aw, you bastard.
Brian, alright. Brian has his New England comics. We already know about that. Taser wants his typical sandwich. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you next week for episode number 59. No.
This was 59.
Episode number 60. Holy shit. Woo-hoo! Ladies and gentlemen, we will see you next week for episode 60. No, we're not doing
it. We're all building towards our special episode number 69 special.
We are not doing anything special for 60. But until
oh, next, come on. 69? Come on.
Until next do week, something. We will see y'all then. Have a good week. Pick up FF number 1. Adios.
You know,
down with Gaddafi! Down with Gaddafi!